South Bay Unified School District vision screening. So, look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Ileana Molina, and I am with the University of California, San Diego, iMobile for Children. This is my disclosure. I have none. I also pay for school, so no one pays me. These are the 5 learning objectives that we will go over today. The first, what is the UCSD iMobile for Vision screening in preschool? So our program is specific to preschool-age children, 3 to 5. This is our iMobile. This is our bus that has 2 exam lanes, a waiting area in the inside. It goes out to about 250 locations every school year throughout the county. The UCSD iMobile for Children at the Shiley Eye Institute is an unprecedented program that serves as a community health model in overcoming barriers to care for the underserved. To date, we have screened over 150,000 children and provided glasses to more than 7,000 students. There are 4 main components to our program. The first, vision screening. The second, the iMobile follow-up exams. Third, glasses. And fourth, follow-up on children wearing glasses. So the first is our vision screening. We perform all of our vision screenings inside of the classroom using a handheld autorefractor. It's the K3 RetinoMax. A lot of people just were talking about the vision in preschool study. This is exactly where we decided to go because of that study and use the referral criteria from that published literature. Second, all the children who are referred from the vision screening go on board to the iMobile. We have 2 pediatric optometrists that do comprehensive dilated eye exams, and everything is documented in our electronic medical record. Glasses. The little ones who need glasses get to pick the frames out, and we deliver them back to the school within 2 weeks. They have shatterproof lenses. We provide them a strap and a case and a little cleaning cloth. We also write their name on the case because what ends up happening is the friends go and pick out the pink cases, and then, you know, all of them are engraved. The glasses are engraved and the cases have their name. Follow up. So for children who have strabismus or need pediatric ophthalmology care, what we do is if they have insurance, we provide all of the information to the PCP at their medical home. If they do not have insurance, UC San Diego is committed to seeing the patients in their pediatric clinic. Additionally, for children who do not reach the threshold of 20/40 or better post-exam, I have screeners who go out back to the school, make sure their visual acuity is improving. If it is not improving, we do a referral to the pediatric ophthalmologist. If it is, we call again 8 weeks later to ensure that they're wearing their glasses as prescribed. The second learning objective, why the San Diego South Bay community? So it's super tiny, but you can see San Diego County. The blue arrow points exactly to the school district that I'm going to be talking to you about. Note the proximity to the Mexican border. Demographics of San Diego County. 32% of the county is listed as Hispanic or self-reported as Hispanic. In the South Bay region, we have 69% of them being Hispanic. Health insurance in San Diego County. It's reported that 27% of the residents are uninsured. In the South Bay, 34% are uninsured. The reason we brought this up was when we were actually doing the screenings and in the field, we saw a lot of parents crossing the border on a daily basis, dropping off the kids. So we know that this statistic is probably not correct regarding the population that we were serving. Third, why can't school nurses perform vision screening? And it's not that they don't want to, it's that we haven't given them the right equipment to do these screenings. So we were talking about how each state is different. In the state of California, there is an education code where it says that they are going to provide vision and hearing screenings, but there is there's no mention of follow-up. So it is, yeah, just screen them, find them, and send them on their merry way with a piece of paper that says you're a referrer. This is a testimonial from one of our star nurses in the San Diego School District. The time it takes me to screen a child just to find out if they're having trouble seeing things on the board takes him 5 minutes. But when the iMobile team comes, they bring their auto refractors, and in 10 seconds, they can refract the beam of light and get the prescription. Of course, this is non-dilated when we do the screening. So, talking about the difference of the school nurses having to do the HOTV charts, the LEA symbols, whatever they have to do, as opposed to when we go in and just use the auto refractor. Preschool population, majority, or 99%, I would say, are not myopic. The population that we see have some combination of hyperopia and astigmatism that is not picked up with the chart. What did we do in the South Bay Unified School District? So last school year, in the 2014-2015 school year, we performed vision screenings on over 3,000 children. This is a little bit outside of our area because we did kinder, first, and fifth grade. The demographics, 75% of the little ones that we saw were Latino or Hispanic. One-third of the students we screened needed to be referred for a follow-up exam with an optometrist, meaning that they failed the screening. Of the 985 children we referred for an eye exam, 587 children had never before been seen by an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. Last, what were the problems with the South Bay Unified School District? Due to refusal by the district, we were unable to provide the comprehensive follow-up vision exams for the 587 children we referred. This is a tough one to swallow. The school board, although we had provided all the information, were not sold on the liability of having a bus going into their school. The school nurses were a little hesitant to let go of the vision portion. The reason was they don't want to be seen as not doing their job. So it's really hard for someone who's been doing it for years and years kind of let go of that responsibility and have what they set up questioned. The school board again said, well, I don't know, it's a big bus, you're going to park in the Reese's playgrounds and all that, maybe we'll try it again next year. So at this point we're crossing our fingers, we're going to try again to see if this time they go ahead with it. And it wasn't even regarding money, it was just their buy-in to get this project in. So we were not able to provide the glasses for the kids that we know were going to need them. The solutions are, of course, we hope to get into the school district this school year to make sure that we can provide the exams and provide the glasses to make sure that we improve rather than impede their ability to learn. So that is my presentation on the South Bay Unified School District. Any questions? Yes.
Macro, where are you coming with the money for all this, especially with all that follow-up?
Mm-hmm.
Micro, any concern about what we're going, instrument myopia with an auto refractor in a kid?
Absolutely. So we know also that when the kids are doing the screening, there's a ton of accommodation that happens as well. So we've learned techniques. Let's start from the funding part. That way we know how we learned the techniques. There's a lot of begging that goes on, and at the Shiley Institute, we have a ton of patients, and we beg. So this entire program is run on grants and donations. We're not even supported by the university in the sense of them providing us monetary funding. So I'm meetings, I'm at lunches, I'm begging for money all the time. But the reason we're able to get that is because there's two screeners in the back, and they can attest to this. They spend a lot of time with our optometrist training so that when they start seeing the numbers going up, we say, wiggle your fingers or, you know, move a little bit so that the accommodation is allowed to bring it down and we get better readings. Also, the combination of hyperopia and astigmatism on these little ones is huge. I feel that it's because of their Hispanic background, and it's just kind of, for lack of a better word, in the water that we see it a lot, but it's about an 80% of the kids that we prescribe glasses to, that combination. Yeah, another question?
How long has the program been going on?
15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 15 years, and I started as an intern 12 years ago. So So we've actually in California there's a state tax on tobacco, and they've developed the First Five California. So they streamlined a lot of money to all programs that are First Five, 0 to 5. So we have been able to get some funding through there. Almost 10 years of funding. Any other questions? Yes.
So this brings a point, though, when you're using an instrument to screen, and I don't know if the National Center for Children's Vision Health has a stance on that, but what is the exact criteria to be used for screening children? Is it just instrument-based, or do you need a vision assessment?
That's a tough one, because we can never agree. So right now you have the Plus Optics, you have Sure or Spot, you have SureSight, you have the handheld autorefractor. What we know from vision in preschool study that she mentioned was that when you have someone who's trained to do the vision screenings with the handheld autorefractor, you get the best results. Is screening 100%? No, and it's not a diagnosis. So the best would be to screen with the dilating drops, and then we can really say what refractive error we would be picking up.
So they have a big challenge. The experts had a difficult time agreeing.
Yeah.
Leah and HLGB were the visual acuity charts that were recommended. The Spot and the SureSight with 2-point something software package were recommended as having evidence of reliability for the instrument. My personal take is I don't think an instrument alone is sufficient to identify children at risk for vision problems. That's me as a clinician. The evidence is not there to support that. There are children who may have +2, -4, do a lot of squinting, and the retina is not going to really pick up the full amount because they're so used to locking it in that you're not going to get it. But those are kids I worry about amblyopia development. The high mass is still in. So I have the same problem. We do auto refraction in my clinic just to get a starting point. But it goes from, when they accommodate, they go from +2 to -7, you know, about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So you do.
Yeah, we always do a distance visual acuity. Okay. But that clinical environment, you know, there's a difference between clinical environment and screening. I think we still are looking to find the gold standard. I think we agreed as an insurance for panel on recommendations, but they are not perfect. They are not 100% sensitive, but 100% sensitive. So the goal is somebody should come up with the answers to that.
The worry is that if you come in as an eye care provider in a service mm-hmm. like Shiley, you come in and Shiley is saying that this is golden, you know, and if you miss somebody and if you miss a group of people, I don't know what your sensitivity and specificity is because you're not, you know, screening everybody. It may come back to you.
And that's why our model is so significant, because what we do is we execute agreements with Head Start. So we see all of the children in the Head Start. We do with San Diego Unified School District, all of the preschool kids in the district. Additionally, all of our paperwork says this is just a screening. It does not substitute for a dilated eye exam. And for the kids that do receive glasses on the eye mobile, we're fortunate to not have to use any of their insurance. So what we tell them is you are going to have to find an optometrist or an ophthalmologist close to you so that you can establish care, because this isn't a one-time problem. This is something that they're going to need long-term, because the prescription changes 6 months, a year. Yeah.
And then the other challenge that Chris brought up on the Medicaid piece is, you know, will anybody accept it? So hard as a practitioner mm-hmm. to be credentialed on all the time. It's a brutal process. So, mm-hmm. you know, what we might see as people accepting Medicare or Medicaid patients now is not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. And they're making it challenging.
Mm-hmm. How many different plans do we work with?
I think I have 10.
Yeah.
So you have to be credentialed on all 10 of them.
My references. Yes?
I just had a question about one of the issues we're always facing in public health, which is workforce. The workforce issue has been I know that you mentioned you went a little bit outside your comfort zone to screen older children.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those devices, of course, are not necessarily recommended
mm-hmm.
for older children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, in terms of, is there any policy work afoot to better integrate what's happening with the school nurses and perhaps other folks? Because I see all of us trying to put our own band-aid on our own corner of the world, and we're helping the 3 or 4 or 10 or 3,000 kids that we can reach. But you seem like you're in a good position to be able to facilitate mm-hmm. some of that discussion about broadening that out to include nurses and perhaps include community health workers.
And that's really hard, because I feel that when you start talking to optometrists and ophthalmologists especially, it's really kind of, they don't want to let go. You know, they don't want to say, they're doing it better, or they, you know, any of that kind of stuff. So it's really hard to just kind of bring them in for coffee and cookies and then let's discuss how we can make this better. But we, in California, what I can attest to is I'm now also the program director for UCI. So UCI, so the City of Orange, now has an iMobile as well. So they followed our model that we started in San Diego. And Prevent Blindness San Francisco and UCLA also use our model. So little by little, we're creeping up the state, but it is only preschool. I feel that there's a huge need in that elementary school age, because these kids are definitely the ones that are looking at the board a long time, and behavioral issues, you know, sometimes are misdiagnosed, sometimes they're not ADD, sometimes they just really can't see the board in our board. So yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So our program has done 2 studies that have been published in APOS, and then I just got word yesterday that our model in UCLA got published as well. So it's, they're coming out little by little. It's just a matter of how to sustain them and catching these kids before they get into kinder, because preschool children don't have access to school nurses. So this is really a kind of siloed little population over here. Yeah. Any other questions? Or? Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.